You're listening to the Ascent Podcast, a production of Foothills Church. As we turn the page in the epic Sermon on the Mount, there comes a moment, a single verse, where everything changed. It came in the form of one statement, one prophetic declaration that shook the core of everything that God's people knew about life.
I came, I fulfilled it perfectly, and I'm going to become your righteousness if you repent and if you trust in me as your Lord and Savior. I become your righteousness, and that is a beautiful picture of the gospel. It's a beautiful picture of God's grace and love for us.
Hey, everyone, and thank you for listening to the Ascent Podcast. I'm Britton Drown, and as always, we are joined by Pastor Trent Stewart, lead pastor of Foothills Church. And today on the podcast, we continue our Life on the Mountain series as Pastor Trent helps us to dive a little bit deeper into this transformative moment in the Sermon on the Mount. So, let's jump in. In this series, we're traveling through the Sermon on the Mount. And during that sermon, Jesus actually gets up and makes a pretty provocative statement to his followers. He says in verse 17 of Matthew 5 that he did not come to abolish the law, but rather he came to fulfill the law. Pastor Trent, I'm curious, can you just set the scene for us here? Jesus gets up and says that he is the fulfillment of the law. What was that? What would that moment be like?
Well, it's nothing that any of us in our day and age can actually comprehend. This was a groundbreaking statement that Jesus makes. It would have been like an atomic bomb blowing up in front of this crowd. I heard one pastor explain it this way. He said, it'd be like me getting up in front of the church this December and telling the congregation, hey guys, this year, instead of celebrating the birth of Jesus Christ, we as a church are going to celebrate my birth. I mean, the crowd's reaction would be like, who is this guy? Who does he think he is? The crowd would erupt. It would be, you know, completely inappropriate. Everybody would be leaving the church, and everybody would want me to go to counseling, right? And so that's kind of what this scene would have felt like for Jesus to say, hey guys, I am the fulfillment of the old covenant. It would have blown everybody away.
Before we get started here, give us just a little bit of background on the context of the old covenant.
Well, actually, Jesus never referred to it as the Old Testament. That's our word. What he's saying is the law and the prophets, and so that's referring to the old covenant. So better way to describe what we call the Old Testament is the first covenant, or the law and the prophets, or the old covenant. Either way, it's fine. I mean, Old Testament's not a bad term, but it helps us kind of think in terms of, okay, this is the first covenant or the old covenant, which was given directly to the nation of Israel. So you're thinking about the Ten Commandments, the ordinances for the sacrificial system, the priesthood, the tabernacle, all the offerings, all the festivals. All this was given specifically to Israel and how they were to relate to God.
So Jesus steps onto the scene here, and he says that he has fulfilled the law. Give us a little bit of background on what he actually means here. How can he step in and fulfill this law?
It just simply means that he's bringing the law to its intended goal. He's not throwing the law away. He's fulfilling it. He's completing it. He came to bring out essentially the real meaning of the law. And so it's like an acorn. I can take an acorn and I can smash it with a hammer, you know, on the sidewalk and kill it and destroy it. Or I can fulfill it by planting it in the ground. And when it dies in the ground, it is fulfilled in the sense that it becomes this oak tree. And that's its original intended purpose, was to become this oak tree. And in the same way, Jesus is fulfilling the law and allowing it to accomplish its purpose.
And tell us a little bit about that purpose of the law, because as you said, and as Scripture alludes to, the law was put in place by God for a very specific reason.
So the purpose of the law for the Israelites is that it revealed God's holiness and it revealed the sinfulness of man. And so that's what Paul really begins to unpack in specifically Galatians and Romans 3. He says, look, the law was given to us because of our transgressions, and the works of the law for us are never going to justify us in God's sight. And so the law can't save us, But it does reveal to us that we are sinners, and it does reveal to us the holiness of God. So when Jesus is fulfilling the old covenant, he's telling us that how we relate to the old covenant has totally changed. And so we don't just read it and assume, we apply it word for word into our life under the new covenant.
Well, you spoke to this in your message. The law is good, and it was put in place by God, but Jesus, in this moment, it sounds like he really did a good job of exposing their hearts.
Well, I mean, this obviously was God's word to them. It was a covenant that God made to the nation of Israel, and so it was their truth. They loved it. I think, in a lot of ways, their heart to fulfill it and their heart to want to accomplish it is a noble thing. But Jesus says, unless your righteousness exceeds that of the scribes and Pharisees, you'll never enter the kingdom. And so when he makes that statement, now he starts to put it into perspective, because it wasn't like, the Pharisees made, a 25 on their righteousness test and you need to at least make a 26. That's not what he's saying. He's ultimately commanding us here that it's impossible to fulfill this law. It's impossible to reach a level of righteousness that God's going to say, okay, boom, you're good enough, come on in. It's all about his grace, and it's truly a gift from him. And I think that's part of his point, obviously, is to show us that we cannot do anything to earn us the kingdom of God. And so I think what the Pharisees had done is they had taken all of these, Old Testament commands, and they had added so many rules and regulations, over 800 pages of rules that man had to follow in order to be righteous. And so Jesus is saying, look, there's absolutely no way that you're going to be able to accomplish this righteousness. And all of these guys, they created all these legalistic man-made rules that you're never going to be able to accomplish. And what the Pharisees had done is they had made it purely about an external righteousness. It was completely about, hey, look at me, I'm fulfilling this box and I'm checking this box. And they made it about traditions, because the traditions were easier to keep than actually following God's law. And it made them feel better about themselves. And, we struggle with it in America, in American Christianity today.
Yeah, it seems like here there's a symptom of what we would call legalism. And despite Jesus' act of fulfilling the law, this is something that many of us still struggle with even today.
Yeah. And in the church today, I think you have a lot of legalism that takes place. You've got people who feel good about themselves because they're checking certain boxes. It's maybe church attendance. And so, they don't worry about, how they're treating their neighbors or, taking the gospel, making disciples or anything of that nature, living on mission. But I'm going to church, so boom, my righteousness is there. I'm doing, good. And so it's maybe church attendance. Some people will say, okay, baptism saves you, and so that's a legalistic step, to earn God's favor. And what we would teach and believe is that baptism is an outward expression of an inward commitment. And so it doesn't save you, but it is one of the first steps you take as a follower of Christ. And, the whole Reformation was about, the Catholic Church saying it's faith in Christ plus good works that saves you. And so, that creeps into the New Testament church today. Like, okay, it's faith in Christ, but you've got to do this, And it's like, no, it's faith alone. And so we're constantly fighting all of this legalism, how long women's hair is, or can you get tattoos or not, or is biracial marriage, okay, and is this TV show okay? That TV show is not. Can I go to R-rated movies? And so you just have this list of rules that people will create, and they'll use Old Covenant passages of Scripture on tattoos or biracial marriage, to be able to, say it's wrong. And it's how we deal with the Old Covenant has completely changed. It was given to the Israelite people. So how we interpret it must be interpreted in light of the cross and the resurrection of Jesus. He came to fulfill it. Therefore, we have to interpret it differently.
I was about to ask, what is the danger even today as we read this? What is the danger of slipping into that legalistic mindset and the idea of elevating self because I can follow a set of rules? What is the danger in that?
Well, the danger in that is making our our whole Christian life about rules and regulations instead of a relationship, it really diminishes what Christ came to do. And so we end up picking and choosing things from the old covenant that, hey, you've got to do this, but you don't have to worry about this. And then it just confuses culture. And so we mentioned an atheist author, Sam Harris, in his quote, like, hey, you can't just pick and choose from the old covenant what you want to, you know, apply today or not. You have to be more consistent. And so, you know, the Crusaders in the 11th century took Old Testament passages to support killing Muslims, and dietary laws today are enforced, and you got to keep the Sabbath and all of these things. And we don't have a healthy view of what the fulfillment of the old covenant means for us today. And as a result, we make, you know, our relationship with God about rules, and we confuse culture, and we're confusing even people in our own church. Now, what are we supposed to do with this?
So as Christians today, how does this impact the way in which we interpret the Bible as a whole, both the New and the Old Testament?
So the New Covenant, as Jesus is fulfilling it, makes everything different. He's changing it all. And so we have to take each thing differently. And so we need to deal with it differently. And so what that really kind of boils down to is the Old Covenant is in three different parts. So you have the judicial law. So this is all of the laws of dress and diet and how to handle lawsuits and crime and those types of things in the nation of Israel. And so Jesus is fulfilling that. So that's why we don't actually follow any of the judicial laws that were given to Israel from the old covenant. Then you have what's called the ceremonial law. And the ceremonial law is all of the aspects of worship in the old covenant. So the tabernacle, the priesthood, circumcision, sacrifices, Jesus fulfilled the ceremonial law. He fulfilled this. That's why we don't have a priesthood any longer. And we're not sacrificing animals anymore because he fulfilled it. Now, the third part is the moral law. And so the moral law is, okay, so do not murder. Well, that's a moral situation, an issue. And so obviously that transitions into the new covenant as well. And that's part of the Sermon on the Mount Jesus is hitting on. Like, it's not just murder that is wrong, but it's having that anger in your heart that's actually wrong too. And so when it comes to the moral law of the old covenant, that still is in play in the new covenant. And so when it comes to all of these different situations, that's helpful to help us break it down to actually know, okay, is this something that we still follow, or is this something that, you know, Jesus accomplished and we have, you know, moved beyond that? I don't think what Jesus is saying is we need to delete the Old Testament. We need to cut it out of the Bible. We don't need to do that. What we do need to do is just understand it in a different light.
Something that you said in your message that I just loved was that the Pharisees were motivated by the law. We should be motivated by the love of Jesus. And here's a quick clip from that message.
One point here. See, for the Pharisees, they were motivated by laws. I want to see the law. I want to see the box, and I'm going to check it. But what Jesus is calling you and I to be committed to is that he wants us to be motivated by love. He changes our heart. Now our motive is to love him. Our motive is to love others. And he grows that love within us. And we are to be known by our love for one another. So here's the final question today. Will you live like Jesus?
Can you just expand on that a little bit in terms of how we are to interpret this particular section of the Sermon on the Mount even today?
I think the point with that comment is, like, if you're motivated by the law, you're motivated by checking boxes, which is all about a task-driven faith. And so in America especially, we're very task-driven. And so read my Bible, check, did my five-second prayer, check, went to church, check. And then we can forget about all the heart issues, which is all about our faith and all about our walk with God. And so, You know, we want to be motivated by love of Jesus. We want to be motivated by, you know, pursuing him in a relationship with him. And so that doesn't just mean I went to church, I didn't go to church, or my hair is this long, or I wear these clothes, or I didn't go see an R-rated movie this year. It really boils down to what's in my heart and where is my heart at? And that takes more effort and intentionality. It takes a deeper level of focus on our walk with Jesus. And so I think that's really kind of the point.
So today, in light of the idea and the reality that everything has changed, it seems that we still feel this natural tendency or this urge that we have to be good or we have to follow this preset list of Christian standards when, in fact, we are called to be like Jesus and live in light of the resurrection. It's almost like we're still living like the Pharisees because we have that need to check off boxes. So how do we begin to really appropriately shift our mindset?
Well, I think it goes back to Romans 1, where God has written on our hearts a moral consciousness, a moral awareness. And so we are aware that we aren't good and that we messed up. And so that brings with it a level of guilt. And so, you know, without Christ, it's always guilt management. How can I deal with this guilt? And so for the old covenant, it was kill an animal and that'll make me feel better. And so in the new covenant, that just doesn't cut it. We deal with it in so many different wrong ways. And one of them is just legalism. And so let me check this box. And for a season that makes me feel better. But ultimately, if we're not dealing with our guilt and our shame and that feeling of we're not good enough, the way that Jesus would call us to, which is to trust in his death and resurrection as a payment for our sin, and that his payment is going to save us and walk in the New Testament, you know, reality that we are a child of God after that, and we are chosen, and we are not only forgiven, but now we, you know, walk with this new sense of purpose in our life. Those are the truths that we walk in. Instead of the guilt-driven, I got to deal with my guilt, I got to deal with my guilt, and I got to check this box. That's really what walking, you know, in a relationship with Jesus is. It's beginning to walk in his grace and love and recognizing that he's already dealt with our guilt. So now we can begin to walk in his love and walk in faithfulness.
Well, we are still just at the beginning of the Sermon on the Mount. So how does this profound proclamation really frame and set the scene for the rest of his sermon?
Well, from this point, everything has changed. And so then he starts to give specific reasons and ways that it has changed. And so we see, you know, the issue of adultery and how that's changed and murder and how this is changing and how he's raising the level of commitment and level of righteousness. And, you know, taking it to this point to where you're like, oh my gosh, we just can't do this. We actually can't fulfill this. And that's kind of his point. Like, you can't, but I came, I fulfilled it perfectly, and I'm going to become your righteousness if you repent and if you trust in me as your Lord and Savior. I become your righteousness. And that is a beautiful picture of the gospel. It's a beautiful picture of God's grace and love for us.
Well, it all kind of ties back to that idea that everything changed. And that really is the good news that we walk in as followers of Jesus.
Absolutely. Everything has changed. Now we don't have to follow the law or a bunch of made up man-made rules. What we are called to do is to bring glory to God. And to bring glory to God means that we are confessing our sin. We're receiving Jesus as Lord. We're beginning to learn what our purpose is, how he's gifted us. And we are serving our neighbor. We're serving and connecting in a local church. And we are on mission to make disciples. Ultimately, that's our call and that's our mission. And, you know, as long as we have breath in our lungs, we want to do everything we possibly can to get this message of the gospel into the ears of every single person on the planet. And so that's exciting. I mean, that's what we walk into, because we know it's because of Christ that we have hope, that we have forgiveness, and that we even have life and breath in our lungs today.
Well, thank you, Pastor Trent, for stopping by the Ascent Podcast. We will see you again on the next episode as we turn the page to the next chapter of the Sermon on the Mount, and we dive a little bit deeper into lust and anger as we move forward in the Life on the Mountain series. Well, that's it for today's episode of the Ascent Podcast. If you enjoyed today's show and you enjoy the podcast, we ask that you go ahead and hit that subscribe button. Being a subscriber ensures that you're the very first to receive the latest episodes of this production. It's also a great way to support everything that we do here at Foothills Church. If you're already a subscriber, go ahead and rate the show. Ratings and reviews truly do help us to reach more people and really do help us get discovered on your favorite podcast platform. Thanks again for listening.